You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back. Third hour, Thursday edition of the Dana and Parks program. Don't forget, tomorrow at 5 is the airing of the grievances. Festivus Friday. Also, make sure you get online to KMBZ.com and sign up for the 4th annual Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is on Saturday from 10 to 2 at Serve in Overland Park. All the proceeds, every single penny, goes to the KC Pet Project, and you can register your team. We have a limited number of slots at KMBZ.com. We'd love to see you out there for a great cause. Dan, you have a confession.
No.
You dirty, dirty man.
I don't have a confession.
Why are your arms so sore today, Dan?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I worked out.
Really?
Before I came in.
And where were you working out?
At a pole fitness.
Okay. Did you actually go do the core workout? It is a core workout that is...
you have to have a strong core.
Okay. How long was the class and what did it entail and keep it clean?
Well, of course I'll keep it clean. It was a clean thing to do.
You're a man, Dan.
That's right,
you
I am.
You were pole dancing last night.
And you know what? It was difficult. Went to a place over in Raytown.
Okay.
An hour-long class.
Off to a great start.
Was it called Bazookas?
That's not in Raytown.
Oh.
And it's hour-long class, and start with warm-up and stretching and all that, and then start with some movements around the pole and how to grip it and how to balance and how to lift yourself up.
It is
extremely difficult.
Were you able to do the thing where you can hang onto it where your head is down facing toward the ground and your legs are straight up?
We didn't even get into the upside down stuff.
Because I think that would be one of the hardest things to accomplish. I've seen these dancing classes and I have heard it is one of the hardest workouts you will ever have.
It really is. I mean, it is fitness. I mean, we know where it came from originally, but it is a fitness class, and you will be humbled by how difficult it is, especially if you're a man.
What were the ages?
And genders.
Well, there was just like three of us there, including the instructor.
Does the instructor have some experience with the pole that I'm assuming she would share with the audience or with the class?
Experience as in how to hold your body when you're using
no,
the pole?
No, Dan, experience as a stripper.
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't ask.
Huh.
All right. The pole workout would not be for Dana.
You sound very reserved when talking about this, Dan.
But there
is... Well, it was no big deal. It's like going to the gym and working out with, you know, HIIT.
There is a bungee style workout. Have you seen this where you...
The aerials?
Yes. You put your... Well, remember when we had toddlers and you put the toddler in the little bouncy seat in between the door jamb? Pretty sure those were all recalled. And the baby just goes, boom, boom, boom. They were like a fall hazard, a choking hazard, a strength, like all of the things. But you remember when we were toddlers, our parents would stick us in that door jamb and it would have that claw that would go around the door jamb. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I do remember.
And the tension claw.
Put you somewhere so you weren't underfoot.
Yes.
They still sell those, by the way.
There is a class where they have replicated that for adults.
Oh, yeah.
And you bounce and bounce and bounce and you can run until you run out of room and it brings you back.
Those are also a massive workout.
Massive workout. And there's one, I think, downtown. There might be one in the West Bottoms. I spoke with my girlfriends about doing that. And the only problem is, for a certain age of mature woman, I know for a fact I would laugh so hard that I would wet my pants. Because I've seen this online. I've seen other women doing it. And what you end up doing is banging into each other. Falling, you know, it takes skill to do it correctly, and I would just end up laughing.
So this was a unique thing. This is the first time I've ever tried this. I typically go to a boot camp style gym many times during the week, but this was something different. I was invited to come try it, and I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's give it a shot, knowing full well that I was going to not succeed very well and come out of it very sore. It is, you have to be extremely strong. in your core, in your forearms, everywhere.
What does it cost to do an hour-long fitness class around a stripper's pole?
You know what? I'm not sure.
You didn't pay for it?
No. It was a gift.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So when are we signing up?
I'm proud of you for trying something new. I'm telling you, I would not do the pole workout. I would try with all of you ding-a-lings to do the bouncy jumper whatever workout.
That would be pretty cool.
Now, I would do, I don't know if you guys have seen this, where they put you in the ball, a giant ball.
And push you down the mountain?
Yeah, I would do that.
That's not a workout.
That's just a ride.
What I call a concussion and multiple contusions.
Okay. Susan Smith, who is serving a life sentence for the killings of her two sons in 1994, was convicted of a new disciplinary violation after a hearing earlier this month.
Good.
The South Carolina Department of Correction said that Smith was talking to a documentary filmmaker on the phone about her crimes. Says a correction spokesperson, she agreed to provide the filmmaker with contact information for friends, family, and victims, including her former husband. The filmmaker also deposited money into Smith's account. Corrections inmates in South Carolina are not allowed to do telephone or in-person interviews. They are allowed to write letters to interviewers. She lost her telephone, her tablet, and canteen privileges.
Why does she have a telephone?
Days.
Well, wait, then how did...
She didn't have a telephone. She lost her telephone privileges, where she could go down the hall and talk to somebody on the wall phone.
If they're not allowed to do interviews for a documentary, how did Scott Peterson do it for days on end?
Well, he's in California. She's in South Carolina.
Oh, duh.
So South Carolina does not allow you to do interviews.
Did she say she would be a great stepmother?
If she gets out, there's going to be a riot. I'm just going to tell you right now.
She's eligible for parole next month.
It's coming, Scott. It's coming.
She has been disciplined before for drug use and once for having sex with a prison guard.
She requested that the father of her now deceased children not be at her parole hearing.
You don't get to decide as the convict who gets to come to your parole hearing.
And I believe she said something to the tune of, I deserve to live my life. Unlike your children.
See, I actually, Dana, I'd almost wager a dollar with you. I don't think she gets out. I think she is so despised, so hated.
It's not about that. It's about, did she serve the bulk of her sentence under the guidelines? That's all it's about. And then,
true,
is she sorry? I don't think she is. I think she is a sociopathic narcissist.
I do too.
I've never heard her utter a word of remorse throughout this entire conversation about her possibly coming up for parole. I've never heard remorse. What I've heard is, I've done my time. I deserve to have a life.
Wouldn't that play against her?
I think it does if there's time left on her sentence. My fear is there's really not.
But remember, her sentence was 30 years to life. If I'm not mistaken, I'll look that up. But I think it was 30 years to life.
In that state, let's look it up. What does that mean?
Well, it means 30 years and you're probably going to get paroled. But I'm almost positive because
I'm telling you, juries need to start really thinking about this. And I know in the moment it's hard to do this, but I had a listener reach out to me the other day and say, a case that I covered as a journalist many years ago, where two people murdered five different people at different scenes, different locations, Scott, years ago. She said, did you know that one of them is up for parole? And I thought, oh, my God, that was a death penalty case. Hmm. Like, what do you mean they're up for? That was a death penalty case. And I believe they both ended up getting life in prison. And in Kansas, you know, we don't mete out the death penalty anyway. I could not believe they were up for parole. Well, guess what? It's been 30 years.
Her sentence was life imprisonment with the possibility of parole after 30 years. So she did get a life sentence.
But my point is, with Robert Courtney and the, you know, quintuple homicidal maniacs out of Wyandotte and Susan Smith, when you're sitting on a jury, 30 years seems like a long time. Mm-hmm. Until that time's up and everyone's going, what do you mean Robert Courtney's getting out?
Yeah.
By the way, November 3rd will be the 30th anniversary from the day she confessed.
And she's eligible next month, 30 years after the fact. I don't think she gets out. I really don't. But to your point, man, if she gets out, doesn't she already have some guy lined up on the outside if she's to get out?
She's trying to get a book deal lined up, Scott, and I don't think there's anything that says she cannot profit from those crimes once she's released.
913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott. Don't forget to check out the podcast, the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go, at kmbz.com. When lights go down.
So good.
Story here from KCTV 5. Oh, gosh. Blue Springs police have cited two men after a match at the city's soccer complex ended in blows. Police say they responded to the Hidden Valley Soccer Complex around 2 o'clock in the afternoon over the weekend. When officers arrived, witnesses reported that a parent punched the coach of the opposing team. Officers cited both men involved for disorderly conduct.
I can tell you who's not getting playtime next week.
The city of Blue Springs.
Okay.
Said it is also aware of Saturday's altercation and is looking into what happened. The Parks and Rec Department is gathering information about the incident and will take appropriate action with individuals that were involved, i.e., you're not allowed at our city parks anymore.
How bad are the injuries? What exactly happened? And who are the players? Who are the participants in said melee?
Okay, one was a parent on one team.
Okay.
And he apparently punched the coach of the opposing team. The fact that both were cited would indicate to me, at least,
that punches were thrown.
That more than one punch ended up getting thrown, yeah.
Wait, so it wasn't the coach of the team that his kid was on?
Is correct. It was the coach of the other team.
Oh, my gosh.
God.
Just walk away, people.
I've been told that before, Sam. Just walk away, Parks. Just walk away.
It's not worth it.
Always in those circumstances feel so bad for the kids.
Yeah, sure.
Who have to be A, mortified.
Kids did see the fight, by the way, yep, according
and
to
B,
the story.
And B, probably, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to go out on a limb, in some of these cases, this type of behavior would not be shocking. I'm guessing if you're that poor kid. If you're getting to a fight on the sideline of a soccer game, is that not already parent a hothead or has already probably bumped up against the line with either yelling at referees or yelling at coaches? Yeah. You saw this when you coached.
Well, I coached for 20 years. I've had coaches on other teams want to fight me.
Safe to assume this guy's problem-solving skills are non-existent.
Or minimal at best, yes. But to Dana's point, though, what an embarrassment. This has to be for the kids of, especially the one dad who went up to the opposing coach and allegedly punched him in the face. I can't even imagine. Now, I saw in 20 years of coaching youth soccer, I saw behavior from, rarely was it a parent of a kid that we coached, but Dustin and I would always have this conversation with the parents before the season. We're the coaches, you're the cheerleaders. Cheer all you want, but don't give your kid orders from the sidelines, please.
A very good friend of mine, Scott, is a swim dad, and I'm curious if they are doing this in every district or just for swim. I don't know that I've ever seen a fight on the pool deck, but before the season started, they had to go to some sort of symposium. The parents had to go to a gym for some 30-minute tutorial about how not to be a DB during a high school athletic event.
So it was an anger management tutorial.
It was a tutorial like, this will not be tolerated. We're going to have you sign that you are here. Sign in.
Have you seen bad behavior at swim meets before?
No. That you understand this, that you understand our rules of conduct and regulations, and you do understand that you will not be warned. You're going to get one. But they had to go after work. These are, you know, people with jobs and other things going on in their lives. They had to go sit through this, I don't even know what to call it, presentation. And you had to be there or your child is not participating in whatever sport it was. And I don't know if it was all fall sports, all winter. Like, they might do it all as a group.
Right.
Wait, was this for the high school?
Yes.
So,
I'm sure it was all sports.
In all the years that I coached, and it was a long time, I saw some parent behavior that I just thought was just deplorable.
I mean, I reffed soccer for 2 days, and I reffed little kids and got yelled at so much. I was like, this is not worth the $14.
Of the three different teams that I coached over 20 years, I only had one incident where I thought one of our parents was completely out of control. And the ref was right. The ref came over at halftime and pulled me and Dustin aside and said, one of you needs to go talk to that parent right over there, because if he keeps it up, I'm kicking him out of here. And they're not going to let him back in ever. And so somehow I ended up drawing short straw. And I walked because the coaches, the teams are on one side of the field.
Yep.
And all the parents are on the other side of the field. And so I jogged across the soccer field. And I went up to that parent and I pulled him aside. And I can't remember his name anymore. But I just said, we can hear you on the other side of the field. You've got to dial it back.
What sport do you think's worse?
Football, high school football. I've been to,
but you can't hear down there. Like if you're a player or a coach,
I see what you're saying.
For the most part, you can't hear it the way you can
maybe a soccer match. Or something.
Well, if you're running back and forth, not but basketball certainly.
You can hear every word in basketball.
Yeah,
yeah, and you could certainly make
the gym echoes right.
Youth baseball, you know, if the umpire doesn't call what you think is a strike. And
my youth baseball coach got ejected from a game
for arguing strikes and balls,
or screaming at the umpire. Yeah.
See, it's just it's so immature.
Now, it wasn't like a one time game. He just lost his cool. He yelled at this same umpire like every game of the season. And the umpire was finally like, get out of here, man. And then he proceeded to continue yelling at the umpire but from outside of the field.
I mean, that is childlike behavior. I cannot remember. Now, there were times where I would go and talk to a referee at halftime or something and say, hey, I think you're calling this game either a little too harshly or you're not calling it well enough. But I never raised my voice. I never yelled at a ref while there was action on the field. Does that make sense? I would never, come on, ref. I would never do that. But I have had conversations with referees, but yelling at a ref or an umpire over balls and strikes, what are they going to do? Look over and go, yeah, you're right, that was a strike, sorry.
Have we built this culture, though, through the way that we yell at umpires and refs in professional sport?
Yes.
But I think there's a difference
when you're talking about youth sports. Well, there is, but the children are growing up watching dad scream at the ref on the TV, and then does that not translate in your 30s and 40s?
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. It had to be mortifying for the kids, especially the kids whose parents were involved, but Blue Springs police cited two men after a match at the city's soccer complex ended in blows. Apparently, the parent of one child allegedly went across the field and punched the opposing team's coach. They were both cited for disorderly conduct, so that tells us that there was more than one punch that ended up getting thrown.
How is that not...
battery?
Assault and battery.
I don't know. How is this even happening? What grade are we in? You're an adult. Let it go. It's a kid's game. Truly. John in Independence. John, hello.
Yeah, I've been an official for over 46 years now. And, you know, you just kind of see it. But so many parents are so involved living their life through their kids that they just can't control themselves. I've had one jump from behind the stands in a high school game and told me I better call a strike when it was a strike. The funny thing was, is my partner come over to me and said, should I call? He's U.S. Marshal. He says, this guy opens his mouth again. I'll have more cops here than he'll ever believe. The other time was okay. I had a young lady that was warming the pitcher up, a catcher. She asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing fine. She said, see that lady in the brown sweater over there? I said, yeah, I see her. She says, that's my mama. I said, that's great. She says, if she opens her mouth, throw her out of the ballpark. Oh. That was just a really great feeling.
To her own mother.
Yes.
Oh, God.
They know.
See, but, yeah,
they
John, know. That goes back to what I'm saying. The other family members know.
Yes. And when they see you arriving at the ballpark, They're scared. They're mortified.
Let me ask you
worried.
This. We have had the conversation about bad behavior on the sidelines so many times that let me ask you this. If you are married to that person, male or female,
yeah.
Or if your parents, aging parents, are that person, do you not have to sit down and have what is probably an awkward conversation with them, but less awkward than it will be when police are called to your child's game?
Or do you just know that if you have that conversation, it's not going to change anything? They're bullheaded, they're stubborn, they're overly competitive, they're living vicariously through that child, and nothing will change no matter what you say, go sit somewhere
else. I disagree.
Else.
I think you say, you know, you screaming expletives at a referee or, you know, pumping your chest up and down the sidelines or whatever the behavior is embarrassing. It's impacting our son or our daughter. Mm-hmm. And at some point, this is going to escalate where authorities are going to be called. And then at that point, we've got a real problem.
Well, stop acting like that when they start calling the games correct.
You know, yeah. That's what they would say, right?
I was going to say, to Scott's point, I think that would do absolutely nothing other than turn the aggression toward you.
Mm-hmm. Well, when they start calling strikes and balls, I'll stop opening my mouth. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get nowhere.
And because, why are we living vicariously through our kids? Are we unhappy with our performance in high school?
Yes.
Then get over it. You're an adult.
Sam, I couldn't agree with you more. To Dana's argument, she's made this many times, and we've had these discussions. Your kid has less than a 1% chance of even playing in college, much less the pros. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, it's not the next Mike Moustakas out there.
Tracy in North Kansas City. Tracy, hello.
Hello, you guys.
Hi.
I do volleyball. You want to talk about being able to hear everything said?
Oh.
It's a gym. I can hear every coach under their breath when they're pissed off about a call. The parent behind me the other day said, looks like she needs to get her glasses checked. And I just laughed. I got to get her glasses checked. And I had a hard time not chuckling. The good thing about volleyball, I want to say, is especially for club volleyball, parents have to sign a fan behavior before they even go watch their kids play. These parents are paying thousands of dollars for their kid to play volleyball. And they have to sign a fan behavior saying that they will not say anything negative to the officials. Even the line judges get yelled at because they called a ball in that the parents thought was out. They can nitpick the crap out of us on anything. And it is very humbling. It's hard to do, but you don't do it because of that. You do it because you love the sport and you want to be there for the players.
But Tracy, if the parents are being required to sign these waivers on their own behavior, and you're hearing, and one of the parts of that waiver is that they're not going to criticize the officials, including the line judges, but you just said that they're criticizing you. They're saying that you need to get your glasses checked.
I'm glad you said that. By far, overall, there's been very few, very, very few. And the one behind me was like a grandpa or an older person. And I laughed inside. I knew they were frustrated over the call. It didn't bother me. But there are officials who will yellow card that. And you have to call the captain over, and then you have to do the yellow card, and you say, this is a warning. If you say something else again, you'll get a red card. There's a process for parents who want to do stuff like that.
I was going to ask, Tracy, is it a group decision as referees, or is it a unilateral?
It's all me.
Yeah.
It's all me. And I mean, I beat myself up just the other day on a high school coach that she deserved a card. She was screaming at me across the gym over a call. And that's unacceptable. You can't do that. The players are watching. The players are hearing her scream at me over one call. And they don't want to do this job. Nobody wants to do this job anymore because of the way we get talked to.
But Tracy, isn't the glasses comment kind of funny? Like, I feel like that one's acceptable. Up.
Yes, and I couldn't wait to tell my obstetrician. I'm like, that's what I got, finally. I loved it. It was funny.
Tracy, take care. Thanks for the call.
You too. All bye. Right.
Be well. Rich in Overland Park. Hello, Rich.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Great, great. Well, I have a different take because I was a college referee, and I am still a active high school referee, and I've coached for years and years and years. So I have a whole different perspective than a lot of other people. It's easy as a game official to get personal. It's really easy as a coach to get over personal. So I just have fun as a coach because, you know, 90% of the referees I know, but I'll throw an extra football in on the field or I'll throw an extra basketball on the court and have a kid run the other way and shoot a layup or something, and just throw the whole game out of whack. Get a smile, get a laugh, and guess what happens? Everybody calms down.
Huh.
But that's me. That's me. You know, I could do that on a soccer field. I refereed a game the other night. I did a C game by myself. The best game ever. Both coaches were very appreciative of it. You know, I'm not a young chicken anymore. So it's easy to do if you just go out there with a little bit of a less chip on your shoulder and a less chip on the referee shoulders, but you diffuse all that right off the bat.
Do you ever meet with the coaches before the game, whether it's basketball or football or soccer or whatever, and tell them, hey, listen, I run a pretty loose ship, but we're going to keep everything above board tonight?
I have a coaches meeting every time, and I always ask, is there anything special or anything funny I need to watch out about? Because if I don't know about it and you try it, you're going to get mad because I don't allow it. At the same time, if something happens, I'm strict on that. I have a no tolerance and very low bar when it comes to the kids' behavior and the parents' behavior.
Hmm. Rich, thank you for the call. Don't you feel like you would want to, at the beginning of the game, right before it starts, Coach, nice to see you. Coach, you're a D. I'm just going to say it. I remember you from last time, and not a fan.
Well,
I think maybe you need a nap and a Snickers, and
you should. Yourself in your
hunger. We're going to start this game right, and you're going to stop being such an ass.
Well, the only problem with that, I see where you're going. The only problem with that is every call that you make, that one coach that you said you're an ass. If he doesn't like it, he's going to say that you made that call incorrectly,
right?
Because you don't like him.
Well, I don't like you because you're an ass.
913-586.
You back it up with facts. What are they going to do?
7798-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Becky.
Hello.
Hi, you get the last word. Go ahead.
I get the last word. Okay, so as I told Sam, I said I had just retired from refereeing volleyball for the last 30 years in the Kansas City, Missouri Parochial School League. And we've got a very good program. We don't deal with too many of the parents that get that way. I do agree that one caller had talked about the yellow cards and the red cards and talking to the parents and stuff. So I was doing it so long that there's a lot of legacies in that, you know, new kids that come around and you've got the parents and the grandparents. I was one of the fortunate ones where when I walked into a gym and they saw me coming in, they knew, number one, I was going to call a fair game no matter what, whether I had this person before or not. And number two, that I didn't take any off of, any junk off of anybody to that extent. And I used to carry a card with me that had the name of the head official on it, name, address, name and the phone number. And if anyone gave me any trouble about my calls, I just turn around and hand them the card, because they're usually right behind me doing it, and say, if you have complaints, here's the number to call. I said, if you think you can do a better job, here's their number. Ask for a job.
Oh, good for you.
I love it.
Good for you, Becky. Thanks for the call and the laugh. All right. Take care. From the Associated Press, monstrous hurricanes Helene and Milton caused so much complex havoc that damages are still being added up, but government and private experts say they will likely join the infamous ranks of Katrina, Sandy, and Harvey as super costly $50
billion
plus
billion.
Killers.
I saw that this morning.
Each one will likely be a $50 billion disaster. Making that even more painful is that most of the damage, 95% or more in Hurricane Helene's case, was not insured.
How?
95%.
Okay, wait. How is that possible? There's no way that many homeowners just own their homes outright on water and decided, yeah, I'm going to forego insurance.
Well, because I bet most people in North Carolina and Tennessee didn't have hurricane coverage.
And they didn't have flood coverage because those areas flood so rarely.
Oh, but
I mean,
Sam,
these are mountain homes where
those properties are on the water.
Well, yeah, but that water is at most a strong stream every day for 30 years until you get the horrible situation where you had torrential downpour for 3 days and then the aftermath of a hurricane.
But, okay, so you know that I'm doing home things right now. And one of the things it says, are you in a floodplain? Do you have flood insurance? If you ever had a mortgage on that property, even if it's never happened in 30 years, would the mortgage company not say you have to have flood insurance? I have to have all kinds of insurance. I've never had a tornado hit the house.
Homeowner insurance usually covers wind damage, but not flood.
I guarantee you every single home in that corridor is now going to need flood insurance.
Flood insurance coverage rates vary by region, and storms differ on whether they cause more wind or water damage. Helene was mostly water damage, which is less likely to be covered, while Milton had a good chunk of wind damage. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in 2 minutes. Don't forget to sign up. We have limited spots available for the 4th annual Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is Saturday, less than 2 days away at Serve in Overland Park. And all the proceeds go to benefit KC Pet Project. Would love to see you Saturday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. out at Serve for the annual Cornhole Tournament.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.